As I look at a weekend like this, you know, it humbles me a bit to hear so many of you say, we're expecting to be enriched this weekend. And I want to give glory to the one who has made it possible for us to be here, who has led us these 46 years. It's not about me being here this weekend. I don't expect that you're going to hear a lot of new things that you did not hear before. And you know, sometimes we just need to hear some things over and over again. You know, God's design and purpose for marriage, the subject I want to look at this evening. You know, you could probably bring 20 different speakers up here and they would probably go 20 different directions on this subject. There is so much, and I don't expect to do more than just scratch the surface. Marriage, the purpose of this weekend is to encourage and yet at the same time present the challenge of marriage in a real-to-life way and not in some living happily ever after fairy tale. We know better than that. And so I want it to be encouraging, and this is a subject that I'm very passionate about. And I love speaking on marriage. If my experience would not have been good, I probably could not say that. Have we had struggles? Yes, we have. But God has a design and a purpose for bringing two people together in a relationship like the person that is sitting beside you this evening. And God said in Genesis 2, and I'm going to read this scripture here in a few moments, it is not good that the man should be alone. And remember one time I was getting on a young man's case for not getting with it and finding a girlfriend. He was getting a little bit older, you know. And you know what the Bible says? It's not good for a man to be alone. And he reminded me real quickly that it says, it is not good that the man, he was referring to Adam, okay? Well, anyway, you can take that where you want to. And so he was trying to excuse his holding off. I assume he's probably, I forget who it was. He's probably married today. I don't know. Anyway, Genesis 2. If you want to turn with me to that, if you have your Bibles with you. And probably a passage that you've heard at weddings many times. And in fact, probably some of you could almost say it by memory. Some of the verses I could, but I am going to read it. Genesis 2, 18 through 25. It says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. That word help meet means help suitable. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. As I look at God's design and purpose for your relationship tonight, for our relationship and being here, you know, I want the premise of this weekend to be Bible-based and yet real to life where you are right now. And some of your experiences that you can connect with. And, you know, as a pastor and lead pastor and bishop for over 30 years, I had the opportunity to officiate somewhere between 40 and 50 marriages. I think it was maybe 44 of them. But there's something I'm sad about tonight, and two of them did not last. Two out of those did not make it. And I'm grieved by that. And it grieves me to see couples in our Anabaptist circles that are separating or simply tolerating each other. This weekend is not about learning to tolerate our spouse. It's learning to thrive in your relationship and enjoy your spouse. That's what we're here for. And that's going to be a little bit of the emphasis, is simply finding joy in your relationship this weekend. You know, it seems that struggling and failed marriages are at an unprecedented number in our circles today. You know, Satan knows the scars and the damage it does to children when parents coexist, because, you know, culturally it's the wrong thing to separate, but they're not bosom friends. They're not soulmates. And every one of those children know that. Or then, worst case scenario, they just separate, they go separate ways. And you know, I've seen that, I see that so much today. If it happens once out of 50, it's way too many. And you know, I've seen it in some couples our age, just within the last 5 to 7 years. And it's like all these years, and you haven't figured it out yet. And then they go separate ways. And they're not living together today anymore. I think of one couple right now, I'm not going to name them. It just grieves me. It's not that difficult. It's not that hard. If you're willing to be humble and unselfish, why does it seem so difficult? You know, as I think about this subject tonight, the subject of marriage is very interwoven, has been very interwoven in my experience as a pastor in my ministry. And especially this last year, in February, we did a marriage seminar in the state of Minnesota at one of our sister churches there that they sponsored. And there were participants from other churches as well, not only from the sponsoring church. And while I was preparing for that seminar in Minnesota, which is just almost a year ago now, I get a call from Mark about this responsibility here. And it's pretty obvious that ultimately my answer was yes, or I wouldn't be here tonight. And so, and then we were already in the plans and the process of going to Romania, which something that was on the agenda for about 5 or 6 years. COVID kind of delayed it. And we ended up going to Romania as a result of a request we got in 2019 already, and helped in two marriage seminars there just this past July with Matt Bontragers from Illinois. And a tremendous experience. You know, we found out that marriages in Romania are not much different than they are here. And they're receptive, just like you are. They care about long-term commitment. And so this last year, my focus has largely been on this subject. In fact, I think I had a message back home after Romania to our people, kind of a summary of the, you know, it's a little easier to talk about a subject like this away from home, you know, than it is to our very own people. They know us the best, and yet I don't have anything to hide, and I hope you don't either. I don't have anything to be ashamed about in my marriage. I got it wrong a lot of times, and I know on Sunday morning I'm going to be sharing some of our journey. It wasn't always a bed of roses for us. But somehow, by the grace of God, we stuck together, not only physically, not only to the point to where it looks like the right thing, we were living, co-inhabiting, but the tough things in life is what really brought us close. And I'm grateful for that. God's original design and purpose for marriage tonight, I believe His ultimate purpose is to bring Him glory. I believe it is. And the reason I believe that is the marriage relationship is a type of Christ and his bride, the church. And you may hear me say this more than once this weekend, that we as men, I believe, need to come to the grasp that we are the Christ in this relationship. We represent Christ. We are to be the ones to lead out. The second reason for marriage, I believe, is companionship and enjoyment. Your marriage relationship is intended to bring you joy. I'm talking about a joy that circumstances will not kill or take away from you. But you will stand together regardless what comes your way. I really believe that. Do you enjoy your relationship tonight? I'm assuming most of you do. Maybe all of you do. You wouldn't have come. But you just want to know, you want your relationship to go deeper. And that's good. And finally, his purpose is to replenish the earth. You know, God created the marriage union as a one flesh union that can only legitimately be broken by death. And you know, I don't have to tell you, and it's probably not a lot different in your communities as it is in ours, but there seems to be all kinds of loopholes and things that people are trying to go around, trying to justify second marriages when the first one is still living. I'm not going to say a lot about that tonight. I just still believe that God's word means what it says. And I'm going to believe that until God tells me otherwise. You know, we are committed. We are committed for the long haul. It's not depending on what I get out of the relationship or if the road is easy and it's always smooth sailing. Every one of us have had days and weeks and months that have been pretty smooth sailing, but we've had the other as well. Commitment means that we are there for the long haul. Secondly, marriage can only be sanctioned or blessed when it's one man and one woman. Two men, two women has always been and always will be an abomination to God. Not because I feel that way, but because God's word says it. And that's good enough. And that's where it's at. We're talking about a marriage relationship of male and female the way God intended for us to come together. It's last summer. Hey, Mark, I might take a glass of water, please. This last summer was, we were in Romania in July. It was kind of a high point of the summer. August was kind of a tough month for us. We attended two really, really tough funerals. And they were about 6 days apart. Two of our cousins buried their wives as a result of cancer. The first funeral was my first cousin's wife. The second one was my wife's first cousin, his wife. These were couples our age. In fact, the one couple served was servers at our wedding. We were servers at their wedding back in 1979. You know, and I look, to my knowledge, these couples really cared about each other, loved each other. And then I see couples that are just enduring each other. And I want to say, God, this doesn't make sense to me. God didn't promise to explain it to us, but we know he's sovereign. And I want to just rest on that tonight. He doesn't owe us an explanation. We simply owe him our gratitude. And, you know, I think this experience has just made my wife and I just, may I say, hang on to every day in grace and gratitude. And we're so thankful for each other. We're not any better than anyone else. Ecclesiastes 9:9 says this, "Live joyfully with the wife of whom thou lovest." And I believe one of God's primary purposes for the design of marriage is that we find joy in each other. And we had a little bit of a something that I think my wife might be sharing with you ladies later, just a little bit of a possible health scare here just recently, and it turned out to be okay. And you know, through the whole thing, it just made me realize how much I value her every day. And I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful for this. You know, joy, finding joy in each other, is not subject to how life is happening to us or how it feels. And I want to remind you tonight, and I'm not here to discourage any of these young couples. I would go right back and I would do it all over again with her. She has been there for me all these years. And to me, she brings, I believe, aside from my relationship with the Lord Jesus, she brings a joy into my life that a lot of times I don't deserve. She's believed in me. Finding joy in our marriages will be in kind of an overall theme this weekend, as I mentioned earlier. Finding joy in each other's presence. Do you find joy in your marriage tonight? Maybe this isn't fair to ask. Is there anyone else on this earth that you'd rather be with than your wife? I can say positively no. And I hope you feel the same way. I trust you do. You know, I'm talking about a joy that goes far beyond the physical or the intimate part of marriage. A joy that reflects your inner joy that you have. A joy that's found even when our spouse disappoints us or lets us down or maybe doesn't perform in the way or do what we were expecting her or him to do. A joy that is not altered by the fact that we are human and we make mistakes and we get it wrong sometimes. You know, when life doesn't feel good or when health or finances fail, it's a joy that's found in the other person that circumstances cannot take away. And that's what I want to be thinking about this weekend. And that's what I wish for you. And I want to look at a couple Bible principles tonight that are required for that joy to stay alive. You know, the question I want to ask is, do you experience a joy or a fulfillment in the presence of your spouse that you do not feel from anyone else? I'm not going to ask you to answer that. Is there anything that you enjoy doing without your spouse more than you do when she's with you? You know, my wife knows the answer to those questions from my perspective. She's already said, you know, I don't have to be alone. I said, but I want you there. It doesn't feel right if you're not with me. I just don't like going places and doing ministry if she's not alone. A couple times I had to. I guess it's fair and okay to say I despise every moment when she's absent. I want her with me. You know, when she's the one that's the most honest with me. You know, in the real world today, and even in our culture, in our Anabaptist people, you know, we have different events that are men's events or ladies' events, and I think those are okay. At least if they're not far enough away that it requires an overnight. Anyway, you know, we have ladies' retreats, business events, and things that sometimes it's not appropriate for your spouse to be along. But when it's events that require a travel, it doesn't feel right to leave. And she's not with me now. My wife is from Indiana, was 46 years ago. Her mother is still living. She's 92 years old. In fact, we stopped there on the way out here Wednesday for her 92nd birthday that day. Had supper with her that evening. And so I need to be okay to let her go see her mom. At 20 years old, she came with me to Iowa. I never had to leave my family, but she did. And so it's okay. I mean, she knows that route like the back of her hand. 6 hours, she knows where every coffee stop is, and yeah, you know, she knows that route very, very well, and she does well. And I've left on ministry a few times without her as well, but like I said, I don't care to. 4 years ago, in March, we did something unusual. In fact, it almost bordered on stupid. Both of us were in Florida in March of 22, but not at the same time. And that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Pretty soon you're wondering why I'm up here. It just seemed wrong. But anyway, my sister had just turned 60 years old, and she wanted a ladies' thing for her birthday. Now, my sister, she's 60 years old, 63, 64 now. Her husband was in an accident, was in a wheelchair since 1984. And she almost never has an opportunity to get away. I mean, with the extra responsibilities and health issues that someone on a wheelchair for well over 40 years causes. And she wanted her, you know, my other sister, and my wife as a sister-in-law and her first cousin, and she planned a trip, and it meant it was Florida, which meant they flew down there. They were at Sarasota a bit. They went clear down to the Keys and had a great time. I consented a little bit reluctantly, and yet for my sister's sake, I said yes. And 2 weeks later, our ministers' meetings were in Sarasota. Well, anyway, I ended up, we felt like for the best of our family back home, that I went by myself and then she stayed at home. That is not us, it does not define us, and I hope it never does. But I guess what I'm saying is, I'm simply using an illustration. Do you find joy in each other's presence? I can tell you when I picked her up at the airport, I never wanted to let go of her. And I know that, you know, she says, I'm not sure how to say this, that I just can't hardly operate without her at all. And I know some of you are sitting here are just like that as well. I know you are. Maybe not all of you. And so, in different times, she said, oh, you can do it without me. It's okay. It's all right. Maybe I should stay. You know, she's very committed to being a home person there and with the grandchildren and all that. And yet I just said, I just want you with me. And I'd like to look at just a few principles here in the Word this evening in relation to what God's purpose is in your marriage, in my marriage. And that is, I want to talk a little bit about love and respect. And I think I'll just take the time to read Ephesians 5, 28 through 33. Again, another very common wedding sermon passage that you've probably heard many times. Ephesians 5, 28 through 33. If I can find it here, Ephesians 5, verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. The principle of love and respect here, I know it says reverence here. Some of you have probably read the book Love and Respect by Emerson Eggerich. It's been a number of years since I read this, but I did read it, I think, a time or two, a number of years ago. And on the back here, it just says a wife has one driving need, to feel loved. When that need is met, she is happy. A husband has one driving need, to feel respected. When that need is met, he is happy. When either one of these needs isn't met, things get, as he says here, things get crazy. Maybe it's worse than that. Love and respect reveals why spouses react negatively to each other and how they can deal with such conflict quickly, easily, and biblically. And so, as I think about love and respect this evening, I believe it's the lifeline of a healthy relationship. It is so important. When the one is not there, the other probably will not be there as well. The one feeds on the other, and vice versa. I love my wife, she respects me. She reverences, I like the word respect better than reverence, like it says in the King James here. When she respects me, I just want to love her a lot more. And it just goes back and forth. The absence of the two works the same way. And that's the scary part. When one's missing, then the other becomes missing. And because that's missing, I don't feel like doing this. And it just goes back and forth. And like Emerson Eggerich said, it gets crazy. It gets bad. It gets ugly. That's not what our marriages are to be like. You know, every one of us brings with us some imperfections and natural tendencies in our marriage that even without any ill will or intention provides a seedbed for misunderstandings, frustration, and irritation. I think that's true for every person sitting here tonight. You know, it can be a small thing like a cultural difference. I mean, granted, we came from two different homes. We weren't raised exactly the same way. Now, she was in Indiana and I was in Iowa. Culturally, our churches were a lot alike, maybe not a lot different. But yet, we found out that they didn't do everything the way we did. You know, it can be small things, how we did things, likes and dislikes, how food is prepared, dishes, or simply one family, I'm not sure, my wife knows why I'm saying this one, for simply one family grew up getting up in the morning with a bang and everybody's jabbering and talking, and the other family grew up and it's like nobody talks, it's quiet, we wake up slow, shut up. I'll let you guess which was which for us. Interestingly, I think, maybe I'll just reveal it. Interestingly, I think I simmered down and she stepped up a little bit on that one. Not right or wrong? No, it's not. But how many times does something like that become an irritation point and you've probably heard the statement, choose your battles. It's not right or wrong either way. It's just the way it was done. I know one of her sisters had a poster up in her room, I wake up slow. Okay, now I get it. It's like, I understand. You know, then, or it can be some habit that is formed as a child that, you know, for your companion, that would have never been allowed in their home. But it, let's say it was me. I formed some habit, and I got by with it. And eventually, this habit became a very selfish thing. Selfish habit. So realistically, now it does border on right or wrong. So now it's not my family anymore, but it's my companion that becomes the recipient of that habit. You know, what are we willing to do with some of those things? Love and respect is not some fancy, polished set of words that some psychologist came up with one time, or that Emerson Eggerich figured out or saw in the dictionary and decided to do a study on it. It's a biblical principle. It's God's way. We are to love as husbands. They are to respect us. I want to just say, are you willing to make it easy for your wife to respect you? Then you love her as Christ loved us. It's not that difficult. It really is not. It's not difficult at all. It's a scriptural command. It's imperative to a marriage that is not only able to survive, but to thrive. There's a difference. It's not a tolerance thing. That's the difference right there. You know, we as men, we're the ones to lead out. We are the ones that represent Christ in this relationship, as our marriage parallels Christ and His bride. It is up to us to chart the path and to set the pattern. You know, I just recently heard of a situation, it almost makes me cry to think about it. A couple that is almost our age. Marriage is not good at all. And the comment was made, it's like he's just waiting for her to decide someday to submit to him. And I'm going to say, you poor man. I can tell you pretty quickly, a man that doesn't know how to cherish his wife. And that's a challenge I want to give to you men tonight. We are the ones to set the pattern. We are the ones. We should not be waiting on our wife. She may be waiting on you to cherish and to love her the way Christ loved us. Our love for our wife must reflect Christ's love for us. We place no conditions on our love. We love her when she disappoints us. We love her because it's the right thing to do. And I just say by the grace of God tonight, I love her because I love loving her. Not just because she deserves it, but I know it's the right thing. Because I know how many times that she has overlooked so much stuff in me. You know, my wife is easy to love. She spoiled me for 46 years. And what I want to say here in the next few moments, she doesn't maybe like too much what I say. This is not flattery. She's probably one of the most unselfish people I have ever met in my life. We have 9 grandchildren. The youngest one turned 1 just, I think, yesterday. The oldest one is 13. And most couples our age have grandchildren that are older than that. But we were alone for 8 years and then adopted our family. And so our grandchildren aren't quite as old as what a lot of couples our age are. But these grandchildren almost worship the ground that Grandma walks on. We just had Christmas at our house here. Was it Christmas Eve? Yeah. And of course, she has all the ideas for gifts for these children. I mean, they're different age. There's boys, girls. They're different ages. And she had skateboards. That's what you call them, right? Nobody. They're like roller blades or roller skates, whatever. Yeah. Anyway. She had a pair for every one of them except for the one-year-old. And of course, the girls, you know, had the right colors, you know, to them. You know, either purple or pink or something that fits girls. And we had a zoo in that living room that night. I mean, there was sprawled legs and there was little kids everywhere. But you know what? Some of them picked up on it real fast and others, they finally kind of gave up for the evening, but they will never, ever forget where they got those things and when. They had so much fun. And that's what I'm talking about. You know, my wife's life revolves around serving. And, you know, those are some, like I said, I'm not flattering her tonight. I'm just saying it as it is. I'm a recipient of that. And I will be the first one to say that if I would not be kind and loving to her, maybe I wouldn't feel that. Probably not. Have I always done it right? No. I just love being spoiled by her. I work right along a hard road, and she'll stop in the summertime and drop off a shake or a smoothie. In the wintertime, it's a hot chai donut. I just know when she stops in, she's got something for me. I'm going to tell you, men, tonight, our wives need to be filled with kind words of affirmation. Yes, they do. When your wife feels loved and cherished and protected, she is going to respect you. Yes, she will. I may have to say there may be some exceptions in this, but oh, as a rule, yes, they will. You show me a man that is frustrated because his wife doesn't respect him, and I can show you a man very quickly that does not know how to cherish. My dad never one time, I mean, he was from the older generation. Yeah, some of you younger ones are thinking we're old, but anyway. He was from the generation and day where you did not express yourself, you know, I love you. I didn't hear that. My dad, I always knew he did love me, but my dad never told me in one sentence ever how to treat a woman. But he spent his entire lifetime showing me how. I never, and I almost hesitate to say this because this could hurt to somebody here. I never heard my dad ever say one word to my mom or about my mom that was anything less than respect. I don't ever have any memories of that. And believe you me, when we disrespected mom, that's when dad, he was kind, but he came a bit unglued. And that's the way it should be. He defended my mom. No, he didn't tell me how, but he showed me by his walk and his life how to treat her. You have got the challenge today, right now, to show your children the exact same thing. Is that what they're seeing? I hope so. I trust they are. This is not difficult chemistry. It is not that hard. You take selfishness and pride out of the equation. It's not that difficult. Jesus wants you and I to have his mind, the mind of Christ. That's of humility and servanthood. Unselfishness. That's why marriages go south today, is because there's too much pride and selfishness there. Scorekeeping, which is directly from Satan. It doesn't belong in a marriage. We don't keep score. No, we don't. We do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. Because we love our companion. Just a few things yet that I want to conclude with here tonight. Just, I know I didn't say a lot about respect. It says the wife see that she reverence and respect her husband. Something for us as men to remember is that we have been created by an almighty God to be the initiators, to be the ones that lead out. And in like manner, our wives have been created to be responders. Think about that a little bit. They will respond to us in relation to how we treat them. I believe that will always hold true. I know wives too that have if I may kindly say this, that have an absolute jerk of a husband, and they are just a gem by the grace of God. I've seen that. But they are doing everything they can, even showing respect to a dad there to their children, a dad that doesn't even deserve a bit of respect. And that is also possible. That is only the grace of God. Yes, it is. When I love her, she respects me. Husbands, we must lead the way. We don't do it. We don't love and cherish them just for what we get in return. Don't misunderstand me when I make this statement here, but I don't know of any better return for investment than to cherish my wife. Any earthly thing. There's nothing better. Are you willing to pay the price for that return for investment? You're investing by being here this weekend. You are. That's why you came. It's because you care about each other. Because like one of the men up here said tonight, we want good to become better. That's why you're here. That's our purpose for being here. When we love our wife as Christ loved us, any respect and reverence that we ever desired to have is going to come pouring back to us. Yes, it will. Selfishness and scorekeeping build mistrust. Love and respect produces commitment, trust, and joy. I'm going to close with a statement, a quote. In fact, I believe I might have got this on social media. But I believe it kind of makes a point that I want to close with tonight. It says it this way, you'll only thrive in marriage when you're willing to meet a need you don't personally feel. Love isn't about sameness. It's about sacrifice. Let's bow our heads for prayer.